Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Original Flavor Wednesday Tadpog Podcast.
Yeah, buddy.
A weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I grew up in a middle-class, you know, working family. Mm-hmm. I was one of those kids that had, like, a Super Nintendo and a Genesis growing up. It was one or the other. So I wasn't, like, super spoiled.
Okay.
But when it came to, like, my birthday or Christmas, I could be a complete dickhead. So this is a story about me being a shitty kid on Christmas.
Okay.
My neighbor, I was good friends with a neighbor when I was little, and his family took a trip out of town around Christmas, and they were coming back like the day after. And my mom told me that they had got me something, and no one outside of my family had done that before. So what did most of the time my family give me for birthday and Christmas? Video games.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I didn't even expect this. Oh, man, I wonder if they're going to get me the new Castlevania. I wonder if they're going to get me blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And I go over there, and the first thing I do when I go over there is like, hey, what'd you get me? Of course, you know, immediately shitty. And they give me a candy cane, like one of those large...
Oh, so it was a big one.
It was an enormous candy cane.
It wasn't like they were just stopped at a gas station on the way home.
And, like one of those little bitty, like individually wrapped candy canes. Right. No, it was like one, like a baton candy cane.
It's a weapon.
They hand it to me, and I just immediately start screaming and crying.
Like, what are you screaming?
I wanted a Nintendo game. And like my mom snatches out of my hand, she pulls me aside, she's telling me to, you know, shut up, you know, you'd be grateful, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I'm just crying and screaming, and I throw the candy cane back at them because I wanted a Nintendo game. And then mom just takes me home and just beats the shit out of me and sends me to my room.
And that was 4 Christmases ago?
Yep.
The road to recovery.
Meg was my neighbor friend. She got me a candy cane.
I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, and... Man, your story made me remember of the first time I ever stole anything. I think
candy cane?
Well, it was candy.
It was a baton candy cane you found on the ground and you just took it and ran off.
Well, if I found it on the ground, that's not really stealing. Hmm. Clearly some child neglected the glorious gift of a candy cane, and I was going to make use of that opportunity. I think everyone has this the stealing story from a kid, mm-hmm. right? I mean, from childhood. And I remember going into this grocery store with my mom and dad, and they're checking out, and there was some bubble gum on the shelf, you know. And they got it at the checkout, and I just grabbed it and put it in my mouth and started chewing it. And first of all, I wasn't allowed to have gum. I was not allowed to have gum because I was a kid, you know. I was like 5 or 6 years old, like. My parents didn't want me to have gum because they didn't want me to swallow it. They didn't want me to get it in my hair because I had really, really like curly hair. And if anything ever got in it, it was fucking game over. You might as well just buzz it and start from scratch. Okay. And so we're walking out and I'm just smacking real loud because I don't know how to gum.
Do not know how to gum.
And my mom looks down. She's like, what are you doing? What do you got? And I like just look up at her like, gum. Where did you get that? The store? Did you pay for it? What? She made me go back. She made me go back, Tyler, and apologize to the cashier. Mm. And
who pressed charges. And yeah, that was it. Juvenile hall.
Yeah. Here I am today. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Well, since it's Original Flavor Wednesday, mm-hmm. we're talking about IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games.
Okay.
We're just plowing through them. just diving in, just swimming through them.
We're Mr. Plow, you can Mr. say.
Yeah, we're Mr. Plow. So we have reached IGN's 53rd ranked Super Nintendo game.
A very important number.
Yeah, of course, of course.
A landmark.
I mean, we love prime numbers.
Right.
Yeah, just love them. Iconic primes. That's what they call us, the bars. there's all those iconic primes coming in. But IGN's 53rd ranked game, Breath of Fire 2.
All right, cool. When I first got ready for this show, I actually thought we were playing Breath of Fire 1. Mm. And, let me rephrase that. I thought I had played this game before, but I had not. I had played Breath of Fire 1.
Mm.
So when I put this game in and started playing it, this title screen comes up. I'm like, okay. And then the intro scene starts, and I immediately knew I'd never played this game before. I had like a mini panic attack. It's like, oh, there's no way I'm going to be prepared for this episode because I have not played it before. Did you ever play it?
Well, I played Beat the First Breath of Fire. I loved it. I didn't get the Breath of Fire 2 on the Super Nintendo. I got it on the Game Boy Advance re-release.
Uh-huh.
I played it there. And I played Breath of Fire 3 for a little while.
What did that come out on?
PlayStation?
Mm-hmm.
So I think Breath of Fire 4 did as well.
Okay.
And I think that's it for the Breath of Fire series, I believe. It's just 1 through 4.
I think that's right. I don't know. You would think that they would keep making them. I guess they just started to sell poorly.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they did okay in Japan, but they're just... I love the first Breath of Fire.
Uh-huh.
Breath of Fire 2, I quit about 35% completion, because I just remember I got to this one point and then just shut my Game Boy Advance and just like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore.
It's just, you're just tired of reading the racial slurs.
Yeah.
your stomach just, I just can't take this anymore.
Not one more thing races against frog people. I cannot do it.
I feel like if I play 38% of this game that I will become a furry. So I'm just gonna push this aside. I played the first Breath of Fire for a very little bit. I don't recall. I didn't get very far. But are there a lot of anthropomorphic people in the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot in the second one.
Mm-hmm. I think because there's in the first one there's like the wolf man and the fish person.
The wolf man Jack.
That'd be good. I'm good with that. And then the snake lady. So yeah.
Okay. But those seem more like in line with creatures from folklore and mythology, because, you know, the Naga, the snake mm-hmm, woman, mm-hmm. and then the werewolf.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And of course, the fish man.
The fish. Well, yeah. The
fish man. Because he had like a human body, but then like the entire fish was his head.
Oh, like a fish? Like not, he didn't have a fish head. He had a whole fish as a head?
It looked like he had, yeah, a human body, and then like there was still the tail end at the back of his head. Like his head was just a fish on top of a human body.
That's some Earthworm Jim shit right there.
Yeah. Well, and then in Breath of Fire 2, they're only vendors. Those people are in it, but they're only vendors.
Oh, are they the races, or are they the actual characters who are vendors?
I think just that race.
Oh, okay.
That character from Breath of Fire 1 is a vendor you recruit, and he joins your party and...
Okay.
Actually fights with you.
Okay, cool.
So they're very mercantile people, the fish heads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before we get started into breaking down Breath of Fire,
mm-hmm.
I want to listen for something.
All right.
See, it's very short. Since Monday, it was ridiculously long. It's just very, very short and made its presence known.
All right. It does, I could tell. That's the distinct whimper of the Wikipedia train. What sound does a train normally make? What would you call that? A toot?
Yeah, a toot.
A chew?
A choot?
A choot? That's not your... Breath of Fire's got a medium choot.
Okay, all right, good.
Okay, guys. Breath of Fire 2, which... Okay, let me try this. Borisu obu faetsu shimai no ko.
Hmm. Pretty spot on.
That, once again, here in North America, we get the shittier name. Because I would much rather, I really want to see American kids try to say that. That translates to Breath of Fire 2, colon, The Destined Child. So it even had a subtitle in Japan. Mm. We can really see what side of the bread Capcom butters.
Yeah, that's totally true.
It's a role-playing video game developed and published by Capcom. Spoilers, I already gave that away. It was first released in 1994 and was licensed to Laguna for European release.
Hmm.
So that's why I've never heard of them.
Okay. Squall's opposite in 8. Okay, yeah. Okay.
It is the second entry in the Breath of Fire series, Tyler. It was later ported to Game Boy Advance and released nationwide. Sorry, worldwide. Worldwide.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Unlike later installments in the game or in the series, Breath of Fire 2 is a direct sequel to Breath of Fire, which I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't pick that up. It's set 500 years after the original game. The story centers on an orphan named Ryu Bateson.
Okay.
I'm not sure. That might have been localized. That's it. That's Breath of Fire 2.
So I want to lead off saying that I love JRPGs. I love Super Nintendo era JRPGs.
Yeah, I do too.
So much. A lot of my childhood memories and what made me a gamer are all based on these role-playing games.
Yeah.
I love them so much.
I'm with you 100%.
So I feel like these games are more in my wheelhouse for me to talk about. They're not your International Superstar Soccer or Kirby's Avalanche or things like that that I'm just on.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is what I know. This is what I enjoy.
This is important to you.
Yes. So that being said, Breath of Fire 2, it's not a bad game at all. It has all the right puzzle pieces. But it's the same. You've done this puzzle many, many times before.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like even at this point in the Super Nintendo's life cycle, you've seen games like it several times already.
So it's a little unoriginal, is what you're saying?
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. Because even one kind of the recurring theme of Breath of Fire series is Ryu is always the hero, the blue-haired dragon heritage, unique power. He's always the hero. And okay. Then there's always Nina is always in it. The
winged girl.
The winged girl, who's always like sort of a love interest or something like that. They're always together. They're in Breath of Fire.
Okay.
So they, of course, they bring Ryu and Nina together in the first game, and then now they bring them back again in this one. That I don't have a problem with, but it's just...
But is there continuity there? Because they don't seem, at least when I was playing, they didn't seem to know each other. Because
I think the Nina in this one is a descendant of the Nina in the first one.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. That's what we do.
Is a very important question. Tyler, I need to know if they know each other.
But this game, like I said, it has all the right elements together, so I can't really dislike it. But playing through it again, I couldn't make myself get much further than what I did in the Game Boy Advance version because it's just...
Does the pacing get off or something, like just, 33% into the game?
It's
or?
Just such a slog. It's just such a slog going through it. And
how do you mean?
And even like... This is worse than the Game Boy Advance version because in the Game Boy Advance version, they have like a dash button and they fix some of the horrible mistranslations. Breath of Fire 1 is also extraordinarily slow, but it has more of an epic feel to it. You feel more like Ryu is alone and insular and in the world. It has a very different feel than Breath of Fire 2. Breath of Fire 2 feels
trainsy. Trainsy. And Nana's dogs at the same time. I don't think the mics picked that up, but that is, wow, listeners, this is Tadpog history. You're getting Nana's dogs and the train at the same time. Holy shit.
That means something. It means something. Look up the articles and see about the Destinies.
I think it means you need to invest in Mondo. Mondo fruit squeezers, because that stock's about to rise. So you were talking about it being a slog.
Yeah. And then Breath of Fire 2 is just the mainstreamed version where they just made it more colorful and they kind of lightened the mood a little bit. It gets darker. It has an interesting darker element later, but it just feels like a pretty way to walk back and forth. And there's nothing unique. It just, you look at the list of like JRPG tropes,
oh, yeah.
And this one just fits every one of them. It's just, there's not really anything stand out about it. It's just all the classic elements there, and you get to experience them again.
Now, tell me about these mistranslations, because I thought that the wording in the game, the dialogue's kind of wonky, but it's not like near the level of Illusion of Gaia, where I couldn't understand what was going on.
Yeah. Well, it's like the, I think it's mostly the names. Like, they're very like pun-heavy names, and they didn't always come through. And then also there was some, like, this is when Nintendo was censoring stuff very, very heavily.
When they were.
Well, they were even worse censoring things. Because I know there's a character named Nympho. Nympho.
Maniac?
Well, I think her last name's like Manny or something like something. Yeah, that's her name. But they changed it to Nymufu.
This is in the first Breath of Fire? Or?
This thing, the Breath of Fire 2.
Oh. I didn't run into this character. Mm-hmm. Does she sex you up?
Yeah, she tries that. Get to the top of her tower, which is a big bedroom where she has sex slaves, and she's telling you she wants you to touch her body and things like that.
Are you serious? Man, I wish I would have gotten that far. I'm getting aroused.
But she's a witch, and therefore she's evil. And
I'm even more aroused.
You don't fuck a witch. You never fuck a witch.
Why not?
That's Breath of Fire 2 world, because they're all...
Oh, not the real world. Okay,
as long as we're not talking about the real world. You can fuck all the witches you want in the real world, not Breath of Fire world. Like, they're a sect in Breath of Fire, and they all look the same. They all have the same character sprite, and they're all single and can't get dates. And you meet them later on in a cafe.
Man, this game sounds weird. I wish I'd have played more of it now.
It doesn't have, like, the same kind of humorous jokiness that, like, Earthbound does, or a game that's meant to be funny. It's like it's meant to be serious and then has these weird interludes of humor like that.
Do you think it's meant to be serious, or like do you think it's like a subtle
a tease in there, I saw it.
Yeah. Do you think it's a subtle like Japanese humor? The like Japanese kids and adults playing the game probably really got.
But you're right.
But maybe it translated.
It's probably just the humor doesn't translate the same way. Because I remember Ashley Shake showing me some of his like videos of him from Japan.
Yeah.
And he and one of his Japanese friends are doing like a comedy bit for their friends. But he pauses it before you watch it and he's like, okay, I didn't really think about this. You guys aren't going to like this, but it's really, really funny in Japan. And he plays and it's a thing where Ashley is playing a guy who's trying to answer his cell phone, but instead of answering his phone, he keeps picking up random objects and trying to answer them.
Uh-huh.
And then he'll have conversations with like a toilet paper roll. And like, I'm watching it like, okay, well, yeah, he's sleepy, I guess. But all the people in the Japanese audience around him are just dying laughing. Like, it's just hilarious over there. So I guess that kind of humor, like, I can see the humor in it, but I guess it's just, it doesn't translate the same.
That explains the extended scene in Breath of Fire 2 where Ryu spends several dialogue balloons talking into a toilet paper roll.
He's answering swords and trying to talk to people.
This is dog.
But that's just story-wise, it's slow. The characters, I don't feel, are particularly inspired.
But they're animals,
They do have, they're all animals.
They're animals.
Listen, you want to break down the characters that you get?
I really want to talk about this.
All right. Well, first you get Ryu. You don't know anything about Ryu. Just looks human at first. And I imagine we'll go back and forth saying Ryu and Ryu. But so, listener, it's R-Y-U. That's however you like choose to pronounce that. Playing through something I didn't get in the beginning until I was reading a synopsis, that in the beginning you're a kid with your sister and your dad in a village where a dragon died defending it. And then you go when you find your sister who can talk, and you're talking to your dad, and he told you. Well, she can talk.
You find your sister who can talk? It's like it was a big reveal.
She can talk to the dragon. That might have been an important part of that sentence I left out. She can talk to the dead dragon. And then, like, you're talking to your mother and father, and then, like, he tells you to go home and go to bed. And apparently something I missed is if you go back and talk to other people, they then no longer remember you.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to anybody else. I just went to my home and went to bed.
Oh, really?
And then, of course, your family doesn't come back. And then when I was in bed, suddenly in the other bed is a dog person. Like, what the hell just happened here? And the dog person is like, hey, let's leave. Like, did you just break into my house and now you're like, hey, let's leave? And he basically calls you a pussy for not leaving.
It's like,
and then you leave with him. And that's just, then it goes like 10 years later. Like, what the fuck happened in this game?
It's like the best Elder Scrolls side quest you can imagine. You buy a house, you go to sleep in it, you wake up next to a dog person who says you need to come with them.
Don't be such a pussy. Let's do this mission.
You bought this Bow Wow DLC. Let's do this. Because his name is Bow,
mm-hmm.
which it's Bow or Bow. I think it could be either.
His name is something like Bow Wow Pupster or like that. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking it could be Bow because he exclusively uses a crossbow.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
As do all of the dog people in this world.
The dog person in the first game uses a longbow and his name is Bow.
Or Bow. What did we do before there was voice acting in video games?
You saved up for Venom toys.
And argued about how to pronounce character names.
Yep. But okay, so you get Bo is the first character, and you are Rangers, which are basically mercenaries.
I felt like that was a translation issue, right? Because you're part of the Rangers.
When I think of Rangers, I think of like Aragorn.
Not thieves and...
Yeah, and you're hired to go find someone's pig?
Well, you don't know that.
Or just their pet.
Their pet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's got to be a tradition, right, of Japanese role-playing games having a pig in it?
After Legend of Gaia, yeah, you're right. And then Naruto, Tsunade's got a pet pig. So I guess it's a thing.
I don't know. If anyone out there listening knows what that deal is, let us know because... We need to add it to the Tadpog archive.
Yep. So thank you, Tony.
Yes. Thanks, Tony. Or Nicole.
Yeah. We haven't heard any corrections from Nicole in a while. Tony's just hoarding all those corrections, Tony and Kyle.
All the correction points.
Yep. But then during that, you of course go through and looking for this pet. You cross mountains.
Right. You're looking for
the find
pet.
A shed with an old man who's about to eat a pig because he's starving.
Mm-hmm.
And you take the pig from him and leave.
Yeah, because the pig has a collar
mm-hmm.
that has a name on it. I can't remember what the pig's name was.
Yeah. And it turns out it belongs to a Wendian, which Wendians are people with angel wings, essentially, right. And they're by the fire world. They're sort of like elves. They're old and powerful and haughty.
Elves with wings?
Yeah. Or in D&D, they'd be a varial elves, but it's a different kind of worms. So after you get the pig back, and then Bo gets a mission. Somebody asks him to break into this house.
Right.
So then he does it without Ryu and gets caught because someone else got to the stash first, and they get away, leaving Bo to get caught.
Right.
So then you have to sneak Bo out and hide him somewhere
in
and then work
can.
On clearing his name. Right. Yeah, he has in a trash can that you drag across the mountains of the shed. Why, when you get out of town, he doesn't
you
get,
don't
out
get out
of
it?
The shed?
I don't know. That bugged the shit out of me. I was like, all right, dog friend, it's fine. The coast is clear. We are so far from town. You can get out of the trash can.
See, supposedly he's the first character you recruit, and he is Ryu's best friend. After this, you spend 40% of the game. A little less than half of the game is spent clearing his name from these charges.
Really?
And he cannot join your party until then. So you don't get him back again until much later
in
the game.
That would have been cool if they would have done something where if you ever wanted to get him back in your party, you could. You could clear his name, but you don't have to.
See, you're right.
That would have been cool where he could have just lived the rest of the game in that shed with the hermit.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, you've got the rest of your party. And then you get a different ending because you did it that way.
Yeah. See, that would have been cool. Yeah. But instead, it's main storyline. 40% of the game is spent walking back and forth to different towns trying to clear his name. There's so much, you don't really get any quality like transportation. You're just walking around very slowly. You have to go to a town, talk to one person, trek way across another town, talk to that person again, go back again, talk to that same person, give them an item, go back again. And that's
the
just,
whole game feels like that.
Yeah.
It feels grindy. Like it really, really does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that would have been a problem for me when I was a kid because I liked games that would take a long time to complete, even if it was monotonous.
Mm-hmm.
But now that really bothers me. Mm-hmm. Like I've got a really low threshold for that kind of shit because it's like I could be doing, let's be honest, I could be playing any other amount of games right now. Yeah. I don't want to play this one that's making me do the same shit.
Because now we're adults to spend our money on leisure.
Right, exactly.
So now we have games to play.
Yeah, it's like the relationship between, you know, money and time, right? When you're a kid, you've got a lot of time and you don't have any money. Mm-hmm. And then as an adult, you have money, but you don't have any fucking time.
Yep. Yep. And you can start a podcast and then play all those old games and then keep buying new games that you're not going to get to. So now that the... Because I have so many PS3 and Xbox 360 games in my backlog.
Oh, God.
And now we're on to another fucking generation.
Those are never going to get played.
Oh, man.
I've got those, too. And I've got some PS3 games that you let me borrow. Those fucking things, I might as well just give them back to you. Those are not getting played. Considering I've got 150 games on Steam.
Yep.
No. I'm never getting to those.
But retirement's just going to be sweet. We will get caught up to the PS4 generation and then die when we're 70. But okay, back to Breath of Fire 2. One thing about that walking back and forth so much is an issue I have with the Breath of Fire series as a whole. The random encounter. You have random encounters.
Yeah.
Which, that's just kind of...
That's a staple.
That's that era.
That's a staple.
I like the games that break that more than the games that do the random encounters, but I'm okay with random encounters.
The games like Chrono Trigger?
Mm-hmm. Earthbound. But the random encounter rate is so high.
Yeah, it is.
It's even worse in Breath of Fire 3. Like, I was 3 or 4 hours in before I just dropped the controller, was like, no, no fucking way can I do this. You'd be stuck in a maze... And so many random encounters, you don't know what direction you're facing.
Yeah.
You're constantly fighting.
I thought, honestly, I love Final Fantasy VI, but I think it suffers a little bit from that in a few of the dungeons. Mm. Because there are some dungeons in that game that are confusing to navigate to begin with. And then you get into a battle, and the battle takes a long amount of time. And then you get out of the battle, and it's just like, it's that feeling I get when I'm in the mall. And I've spent too long in a single store, and I walk out of it, and I'm like, where the fuck, where am I? Like, what? I have to, like, spend 10 seconds to just kind of reorient myself with reality.
Because mm-hmm. Breath of Fire 3 was just, like, every 3 steps.
Oh, no.
And they're long battles. Breath of Fire 2 is, like, more like every 4 or 5 steps you'll get in a battle. So it's not as bad, but it's frustratingly high.
Yeah, I felt like it was really high, and it felt like padding.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did. It felt like this game didn't have a whole lot to offer me as far as a story, as far as a narrative goes. And they realized that and they wanted to make the game long.
Yeah.
So they just upped the number of random encounters. And like you said earlier, make you go back and forth to places.
And then you have to have certain characters in your party to access certain parts of the map. So you're stuck with some characters that I didn't really care for. Like Sten the monkey.
Yeah, we didn't finish talking about all the different characters.
Yeah, okay.
So Sten, is he a straight up monkey or is he a monkey man?
He seems like just an intelligent monkey.
Because he looks like a monkey. Yeah.
He has like a dancing suit on and shit like that. So he looks like he's just straight up a monkey.
I didn't meet him. What's his occupation?
Trickster.
See, that could be a monkey occupation.
Yep. Apparently it's revealed later on that he's like a soldier who's left this monkey army.
Hmm.
And now is living life as a magician and trickster. Because you meet him it's like, hey, why don't you do my disappearing trick? And he makes Ryu disappear, but puts him in an alternate dimension accidentally. And it's difficult to, he has to do something to get him to bring Ryu back. And then he's like, oh shit, I could have lost him forever. I'm very sorry. Here, let me join your party. Then you have him.
He says all this talking into a banana. Like it's a telephone, right?
And
everyone just laughing.
And his ability is on various places of the map where the continents don't touch, there'll be wooden pegs and his long monkey arms, he will reach across
so that's who gets,
and draw you to the other
because I've seen, yeah, I'd seen those. I'd run across those and had no idea how to cross.
Yep.
Okay.
But he's like that. You don't get him for a little while. The next character you recruit is Cat.
Right?
Can
you guess what kind of animal person Cat is?
It's got 2 T's, if that throws a K and 2 T's. Or for some, that's Lynn in one of the other versions.
Really?
So I guess they thought that was it's a little too obvious. Let's make it Lynn.
Catlin?
Stark? Lannister cast coming soon. But you find she's hates you at first, and she's super tough, and then you beat her in this Coliseum competition.
Right.
And
she's, I didn't think she was that tough.
You save her, no.
I didn't think
she's much tough. Tougher when you fight her than when you recruit her.
Yes.
So you beat her, and then if you save her from these poison arrows, then she immediately joins your party. If you don't, it takes a little while for her to join you.
Illusion of choice, yes.
Exactly. And then after she will join you, and shortly after that, you're joined by a large anthropomorphic, I wanted to say armadillo, but he's something else.
I thought he was a horse.
Okay.
I did. I thought he was a horse wearing armor. It's not the case. I had to look up what he was.
What is he?
Here he is. He is. Dave reads from Wikipedia, part two. He is a pangolin.
Okay.
Which is a scaly anteater.
He looks, to anybody who plays Pokemon, he looks like a Sandshrew. He's an anthropomorphic, giant weightlifter Sandshrew.
Sandshrew?
Sandshrew.
Sandshrew.
Mm-hmm.
Do Sandshrews produce acid from glands near the anus, similar to a skunk?
I remember they had claws, and you could do claw attacks.
But no? Not acid from the anus? They don't have that?
Anal gland expression. Sandshrew, express your anal gland.
It's super effective against everything. But yeah, that's a pangolin story. What's the name of the character?
Rand.
Rand. Does Rand ever excrete a spray of acid from his anal glands?
He can wake up people who are hit zero hit points.
So in short, yes.
So maybe. So in short, that's how he gets them to wake back up.
Yeah, because that's the name of the ability is wake. Yeah.
So him after Rand, which Rand is like the soft spoken. He can heal and he fights with his hands, high damage. I didn't use Rand very much.
He's got such a... We were talking about white names earlier before the show. He's got such a white name. His name is Rand Marks.
That's what I named my pangolin. But then after you get Rand, you recruit Nina.
Yeah, Nina joined your party.
Mm-hmm. And I believe she's a little different in this one because she has black wings.
Yeah, she's outcast from her society because she has black wings.
Mm-hmm. And she's a powerful black mage type. Let's see. After Nina, that's when then you get Sten, the monkey.
Yeah, monkey trickster. I didn't get this far. I never met Sten.
After Sten, you meet a giant frog, and that's when you go fight Nympho, and she tells you that if a maiden kisses the frog, it'll release the curse you put on this frog for not dating her. So then you go and kiss the frog. The frog turns into Jean, the frog fencer.
Uh-huh.
And then Jean joins your party. And his ability, usually people when they're placed in the front of your party on the map, they have like a unique ability. Like Sten's was reaching across. Nina's in the first Breath of Fire was turning into a bird to fly.
Okay.
I don't believe Rand or Ryu have one. Jean's, though, is to turn into a giant frog.
Okay.
And
that makes sense, I guess.
Yep. He can go through the water in giant frog form. So now you're no longer hindered by barriers of lakes.
He can transform into a frog in the overworld map.
So, and then if you're in frog form, like if you're poisoned in battle, normally outside of battle, you lose hit points at every step.
Right.
If you're in Jean's frog form, you don't take damage from poison.
Okay.
And you can go through, not through oceans outside, but you can go through lakes.
Well, that's cool. I like that. I wish I could have played around with that. I've got a question for you, though. Did you say, so that's where you meet Nympho, is when you pick up the frog man.
Mm-hmm.
But does Nympho join your party ever?
She helps you sometimes.
Oh, okay.
But
like there, because I didn't play this part, but it sounds like there are parallels to Chrono Trigger. Like it kind of sounds like Square borrowed a little bit because this came out before Chrono Trigger, I believe. It's just weird that you have a frog. You have a frog who's good with a sword that is cursed, and I mean, spoilers.
Yep, he's like a warrior. He's a painter, I believe. He's a prince.
Okay.
And he's a painter. And
so a little bit different.
Yeah, a little bit, but he's still the frog fencer. It's still.
Yeah.
And then once you save Jean, a kind of a strange part of this game, there's a side cave by the Frog Kingdom. When you go in, you find it's the famous Wildcat restaurant.
Okay.
And you're invited to come eat.
It's in Lexington.
When you walk in, there's a sign that says, No weapons allowed in the dining room. Please leave your weapons in the bin.
Okay.
So you
can say, it's like that bar in the Romeo and Juliet remake.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure that's what everyone was thinking.
Everyone's like, oh, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah, you got to check their guns at the, right.
So then you had the option, if you say yes, then you move on to the next room, and it's to more fully enjoy your dining experience, please don't be encumbered by armor. Please leave your armor in the bin. You do that.
You never get your items back,
and
do you?
And then you grow up well. You go up to the next one, and it's like, to further enhance your dining experience, please pick up your knives and forks. So you do that. And
okay.
You get the next one. Our chef is particular. Please rub yourself with this salt and pepper before entering the dining room.
I think by that point, I'd be like, I'm not doing this.
I imagine if you stop at that point, you don't get your items back. I bet is what happens.
I was going to ask if you can leave.
Yeah, you can say and then walk out. But I said yes, and you go into a giant grill room, and they turn on the heat.
Nope.
Or do you pick how you want your meat done?
Nope, not doing it. I would get the fuck out of there. I don't understand why you did this. It seems like
they tricked me. They tricked me real good, Dave.
It seems like they're putting you in real peril. What they should do is when you do that, you get eaten and then they delete your save. Like a message just pops up that's like, seriously, you should have known better to do this.
Well, however you choose to have your meat done
is
how long you stay over the fire and you'll lose hit points. So if you choose, like, if you want your meat well done, you take a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And I chose my meat rare.
Yeah.
So I didn't lose any hit points. And then one of the wildcats comes in. And he's like, oh, you're supposed to be meat by now. I'll eat you good. And then you fight the cat chef. And then once you defeat him, which you don't have any armor or weapons, so you basically just have to rely on magic and trying to do it quickly. And then after you defeat him and go back behind the grill, then the Wildcat actual cafe restaurant and the cats apologize to you.
We're very sorry.
And you can, if you say it's okay and tell them you don't want to fight them, that you forgive them, then they'll teach you their secret cat technique.
They reward you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you learn slice, the secret cat cooking technique.
And that is that actually useful, or is that just...
It depends. You can give it to any character.
Okay.
So a character that might not be very good in melee, typically, you can use Slice. It doesn't cost any magic to use, but it's listed under your magic. So it has its benefits.
And it deals physical damage?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So that's one weird thing. And then when you go back to help Jean do his whole thing, there's a false prince there. And in order to prove that he's the real prince, you have to have a cooking competition. And
how'd you like that, Tyler?
Oh, so good. Well, you have to go to the dungeon.
Did you feel like you had an edge? You had a culinary edge?
Well, no, because
your training?
You do frog recipes.
Well, fuck. How
so
is it?
So I had no frame of reference because it's frog recipes. So you have to go and get, you have to go to the dungeons and find like a worm, a beetle, and the legendary gold fly. And
do you use that?
We use a lot of gold fly at work.
Exclusively.
Here's one of the things that they snuck by in Breath of Fire 2 is this is pretty early in games to curse.
Please tell me there's a hidden penis somewhere in the game.
The fly just a giant dick. The fly says damn whenever you beat him for the first time. So this is pretty early on to have language like that.
That's nuts. No, I don't think – I think if they would have caught that, even at the time, they would have had him take that out.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
But, yep.
Man, this game just – its cool factor just went up for me, Tyler. This game's got a lot of street cred.
But you go, you catch all the ingredients, go up, have the cooking competition. It's rigged, so you lose, well, and then they ask you to eat the food to prove how good it is.
Yeah.
Humans can't eat frog food, so you
silly.
You vomit everywhere and get put in prison.
Oh, so they can eat it.
If we were to eat flies and worms and roaches.
I thought it was physically impossible. I kind of liked that fiction that I was creating.
But you do that, and you get thrown in jail, and you bust back out, and every now and then, so far, the bosses, I think at this point you fought two bosses. Each of the bosses like this transform into a demon that you then fight the demon before they're dismissed. Like the guy who, to get Nina, you have to save her sister, who has been kidnapped by a demon.
Right.
One of the people who you and Bo meet early on, you fight him, he's a demon, and then now you're fighting another person transforms into a demon.
Which I took as a possible... overarching story plot?
That is part of the overarching story.
Okay. I also thought that this may also be something that Chrono Trigger took from Breath of Fire 2 is the transformation animation, because that's exact. It reminded me of the Chancellor in Chrono Trigger, because it looks exactly the same, where you've got the sprite of the human and then they flash the sprite of the monster and then they flash them back and forth rapidly until they transform.
Yep.
I thought that was... it might not be Square just taking from Capcom. It may also just kind of be a cultural thing where it's like, like an anime. This is, you know, you've got all the emotions, like the sweat bubble that comes down. Yeah. That's just a cultural thing. Yeah. It may be the same thing.
Because the fire, whenever games. Like Ryu or Bo are embarrassed or whatever, yeah, you see like wavy lines or the teardrop or sweat bubbles. Or
it's cool. I like that. It translates really well to a game like this too, because you're able to convey emotion with such a graphical limitation. Mm-hmm. You know.
And then after you save Jean, break out, fight the demon guy, and you leave. I didn't get much further than that. I think last time I quit in the frog dungeon, this time I went ahead and finished it. But then you have to go back and forth for something like 4 or 5 more times to just select some silly item.
That would drive me crazy.
I was done at that point.
That would drive me crazy.
So I read more into the game to figure out exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't. I couldn't do it anymore.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm not going to finish every RPG. Especially not in a week's time.
Yeah.
It's just not going
to
happen.
I mean, I wanted to finish. I mean, I love Breath of Fire 1.
Yeah.
I quit Breath of Fire 3 very early on. And I wanted, it's like, okay, let me see if I can find that disconnect. And it's just, I couldn't do this one either. There are just too many technical and story related things. Nothing in the game really hooks me like it does any RPG for me to really get into and play.
It didn't hook you, but did you have fun playing it? Like, did you have fun with the time you spent?
Some of it I did.
So not really. It sounds like it doesn't sound very positive.
It was just all the quests, the ones that I talked about in depth, I thought were humorous, but it was nothing that I really. It was just a bunch of meaningless kind of fetch quests that didn't really. It doesn't build up on much until much later in the game, because you spend all the rest of the game trying to clear Bo's name, and then it's like, oh, by the way, the church is actually evil and we're trying to infiltrate the world. Thank you.
I think that could have been cool if they would have at least hinted to that. Like, that may have been all it would have taken to keep that whole end game narrative interesting is, you know, because you're meeting all these people, all these demons who are costumed as humans. You'd think that if they left like a clue or something behind where it's just, I don't know, some foreshadowing to things to come,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just, I mean, as far as we know, it could just be random monster
mm-hmm.
and not an organization of demons.
Well, see, you meet a very powerful priest at one point named Ray. And Ray is like a powerful wizard who works for the Church of Saint Eva. And you help him, you save some captured townspeople.
Uh-huh.
And he blesses you by the power of Saint Eva and things like that. Well, it turns out the Church of Saint Eva is actually the front for the demons that are trying to take over the world. So then you still have to fight Ray, who's very apologetic, but he still won't deny his faith and still fight you anyway, which is a cool thing for to happen this early on in the RPG, the RPG world. Yeah. It doesn't really, that's a darker, you know, evil church, still allegiant. It's a deeper storyline for this time period.
I was curious if it was going to go that way, because the game really has, from the beginning, it lets you know that there's essentially two kinds of worship, because there's people who worship at the church, but then there's also these dragon shrines.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, those are the two places that you can save your game.
Yeah.
At the church and at the dragon shrine. That also could have been something cool they could have done. They could have kept track of where you saved your game the most often. And then based on that, they kind of have like a loyalty thing. So like the story could change. Like if you saved your game 51 times at the church and 49 times at the Dragon Shrine, you get a Church of Ava style game.
See, that I like that too. This game does have different endings.
Oh, it does?
Which is pretty uncommon for, you know, a game this early.
Yeah.
And you still don't see a whole lot of it now in RPGs.
Like, yeah, it's true.
Chrono Trigger has different endings, but you don't see in Japanese RPGs, usually it's the same at the end.
Yeah.
This one has, depending on, you get to build your own town, which is a cool mechanic.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Because after that shed that you leave Bo at, he works on it.
You fill it with all your furry friends, right?
Yep, exactly.
It's a fantastic furry village.
And you meet another witch who, one of the elements of the game is called fusion, to where you find these hidden shamans all over the world, and you can fuse with them to give your certain characters' elemental powers, and depending on their personality, they can fuse with different shamans. Ryu, however, can never fuse with one. He tries it, and that unlocks his dragon powers. You can turn into a dragon for one turn, do a super powerful move, and that's it. But like Sten, you find the fire shaman. Sten can join with the fire shaman. It turns his fur red, and he's much more powerful.
Rand shoots a spray of acid from his anus, right?
When he to the anus shaman.
Yeah. Yes. Not to be confused with the anal shaman. Those are two entirely different shamans. One studies the anus. I'm going to let you fill in the blanks on the other one.
But you have that, and then there's another add-on to where you work with Fusion in your town, and then you get like six houses. And you can talk to random NPCs and invite them to come live in your town. And depending on who they are, it has different effects on your town. So some are awful, and then some are good. Like I found an advanced town guide.
Oh, wow.
Because I think six houses and you have like 27 possibilities of people you can recruit.
Holy shit.
So depending on how you want to build your town and how you want it to look. Because you can recruit different carpenters that will make your town look like classic, an Arabian palace. Or slightly futuristic, which futuristic was just like blue. So you can make it look like that.
It hasn't been invented yet.
blue houses, no. So that's an interesting aspect. Apparently, one of the best endings is there's a way to make your town mobile.
Is the witch fucking ending.
Which,
it's really weird, but worth it.
You can make your town fly. And if your town can fly, you can trap the final boss from not taking over the world after you beat him, and that's how you get the good ending. Otherwise, Ryu sacrifices himself at the end to turn to a dragon and lose his personality to defend the world from the enemy coming back in.
And then does he die on the mountain?
He just stays there and protects it.
Oh, okay. So I thought it was like a looping thing, like a paradox that it creates, because he turns into a dragon to kill the final boss or defeat
Death
the final
Evan
boss.
Is the final
Death Evan.
So in the hallway of a horrible boss names, Death Evan.
I want to know what his last name was. Because you know Death was a title. It's not his first name.
Roberts.
Death Evan Roberts.
But I think, to my understanding, he's sort of a Deus Ex Machina boss, to where you think you're fighting someone else the whole game, and it's like, oh, nope, I got a boss. And then you find Death Evan.
Cool.
So.
So Death X...
Death X, I think, is the worst.
Death Evan. You think they're brothers?
I hope so.
Do you think maybe Death is like their surname?
But one thing because I was talking about the tropes for this game, and I went to, if you've never been, TV Tropes.
Oh, I love that site,
it's
dude.
It's just like you will get sucked into days of reading that. But it has its own page.
What does?
Breath of Fire 2.
Oh, okay.
And it breaks down all the tropes that it falls into.
What do you got?
Well, silent protagonist.
Yeah.
That's pretty big for this era.
Yep. Who? What other games had silent protagonists? Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah. Cloud was generally pretty non-talkative, right?
I mean, he talked a little bit.
So you're not
completely silent.
Okay. So we named one.
Link.
Yeah, that's true.
Samus is silent protagonist. Mario is a silent protagonist.
So what we've discovered
Freeman.
Today is that Nintendo is lazy.
Yep.
It does not want to write dialogue. I'm trying to think of the...
Because even in Mario RPG, Mario never talks. He only acts things out.
Yeah, you're right.
The World Saver, because you got the one character to save the world. And then Unique Child, because... Yeah. Well, Ryu's the only one that can do that anymore.
You're just reading off fantasy tropes.
Crystal Dragon Jesus.
No, I'm not familiar with that one. Is that a crystal meth thing? Is it the guy, the long-haired skinny guy who does too much meth and thinks he's Jesus?
Yep. That's heavily plays into this game.
Classic JRPG. What is it?
It's where the character is sort of the redeemer, saves the world, you know, and can transform into a dragon.
Please tell me that was a link and you clicked on it. You can tell me all the other games.
It's a common, absurdly spacious toilet.
It's a common, absurdly spacious toilet?
Apparently it's a trope where you go into the bathrooms and they're just enormous. And Breath of Fire 2, the toilets are in their entire other rooms for just one toilet where people will live sometimes.
Well, we have bathrooms. I mean, it's just... It's just odd to see a bathroom in an RPG because you never see them. And I often wonder, like, I'm playing, like, especially like Final Fantasy VI, where it's like all kind of Steam technology. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've never seen a bathroom. I've never seen one. I don't have they developed the Steam technology that just evaporates turds.
Final Fantasy VI has a few. The Empire has toilets. Right. You don't really find toilets anywhere else.
Well, that's because they're the civilized ones. That's what the War of the Magi was all about, is bringing toilets to the South.
In one of the towns, there's a bathroom in an inn where somebody couldn't afford their room, so they're sleeping in the bathroom. You can recruit that guy to live in your town, and he will live in one of the bathrooms in your town and give you one gold piece a month.
I was hoping you were going to say, he'll come live in your town and straight fuck your town up, talking about ghost bullets and...
Badass preacher,
okay.
Which Ray, the wizard who follows Saint Ava, apparently that's very common.
Well, I never met Ray, but I'm gonna go ahead and come up with an achievement for him.
Okay, half dressed petting zoo people.
Okay,
that plays into the furries.
Yeah,
demonic possession.
Do you think when a group of furries get together for a furry party, do you think they call it a petting zoo?
God, I hope so. We're gonna have to get into this just to see.
A heavy petting zoo. And like, does it count if your genitals are out of the costume?
Like, any furry listeners, please get in on this. Tell us.
I'm genuinely curious.
Micah, I'm looking at you.
I'm genuinely curious. Like, they've gotta have there's gotta be a kink within the kink where it's like, oh, we're furries, but we only dry hump.
We're middle school furries. can't drop the hero, because Ryu can never leave your party.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty
wise tricky. Tree. So there is an all-knowing tree you talk to later on in the game.
Okay.
Mini games.
Uh-huh.
So in Breath of Fire, you can hunt, fish, and cook.
Well, yeah, frog cooking contest.
Hopeless boss fights.
Oh, so they're fights where you're destined to lose?
Yep, and I fucking hate those.
Yeah, I do too.
And I carried that over into my D&D games until I realized, like, God, this is just so shitty of me to do. I will not do them ever again. And that's some of the ones that I thought were obvious. There were 100 different tropes Breath of Fire 2 commits.
Link for the show notes.
Yep.
I love that site so damn much.
But it is credited as being one of the first games to pull off Corrupt Church, the Corrupt Church trope.
Oh, yeah?
So.
Cool. Yeah, and that became, a pretty big trope in the genre, for sure.
One thing I don't like, you can name Ryu, you can change his name. You can't name any other characters. And I feel like when it's just text is the only way to communicate in a game, like, you should be able to name all your characters. I loved naming all my characters after friends and girls I had crushes on and shit like that when I was younger.
I wasn't that kind of guy. I think it's interesting that
I was totally that me. You totally were. Me.
I was very serious about the story. I didn't want the story to. I didn't want to mar the story with my plebeian names.
There was always. Usually, I'm Ty or Tyrone. I don't like my name. I don't really like my name, so I'd always change it a little bit. So you know who I was. Josh was always there. But I would always make sure, Josh was a popular name.
What?
For me growing up.
What?
I know, believe it or not. So I didn't want anybody, because clearly people were always coming over and watching me play these games. So I had to differentiate between what Josh I meant. So Josh was always Josh N. So when people would come in like, oh, are you named it after Josh, blah, blah, blah? No, Josh Nance. See the N? Josh Nance. And the various girls I had crushes on. And then if something didn't work out, I'd play the game all over again to rename them something different.
Well, naturally.
Yeah.
Because otherwise that would just be weird.
Yep.
What'd you do when you could only have four characters? Well, four alphanumerical slots for a name. Would you still do Josh and then really just adamantly defend that it was Josh Nance when someone asked about it? Or
yeah. I remember if I did Final Fantasy 1, yes, I'd have to do that. Because I think my party in Final Fantasy 1 when I played that was Ty, Josh, Shake Asumi Letters, so it was Ash.
Okay.
And then I didn't know how to abbreviate my friend Dustin, so it was just Dust.
All right.
So there you go.
Please tell me Dust was the ninja.
He was the black belt.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Close.
You don't like your name? What's up with that?
I don't know. I just never really liked it.
You know you can change that.
Yeah, well, it's not worth it. It's too much paperwork. I'm too lazy to change it on this bitch about it.
What if we... It probably costs money too, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
If... Can we do a thing where...
You need to change your passport too and new social security card and...
Can we do a thing where if the listeners agree to pay for your name change, that you'll do it?
They'll put a poll on Facebook. Welcome to... Hitler. Hitler did nothing wrong and Dave play old games.
Hey, we could podcast your name change live.
Welcome to Grandma Squirts and Tyler and Dave Play Old Games.
Grandma Squirts and Dave Play Old Games.
Because that was when Mountain Dew did that contest to name the new Mountain Dew flavor. Reddit blew that shit up and tried to make the new Mountain Dew. Number one was Hitler did nothing wrong. And number two was Grandma Squirts.
I did not know about that. Yeah.
You can still go to their website because they've stopped.
New Mountain Dew's website?
Yeah, it's still up there for the poll. It's closed and they're not releasing this flavor now. But
what do you mean they're not releasing Grandma Squirts? I've been waiting so long. Oh, fuck. What were we even talking about?
I got some achievements, Breath Fire, too.
You've got some achievements?
Yeah.
What do you got?
I got Cat Lord.
Cat Lord. I love it.
The Cat Lord is when you save Cat from the poison arrows.
Yeah. I didn't do that. I didn't know you could.
Mm-hmm. If you continue to walk forward, you'll push her out of the way.
Yeah, I read that in the guide after. I'm like, there's no indication at all.
There's not. Stupid anthropomorphic armadillo.
Okay.
Which I guess I should have changed it to because it's not an armadillo.
I forgot even what it's called. Pangolin.
Pangolin. Well, because whenever you talk to Rand, he's like, hey, give me all your money and I'll get an antidote for this poison.
Right.
You can go deposit all your money first. And then when he says, hey, give me all your money, then he'll come back with.
Or a
Z. If you have zero, yeah, he comes back. Oh, here, I'll spend all your money on this poison. So that's if you give him zero money and he comes back with it, that's how you unlock that achievement.
Gotcha. I like that. I wish I'd have known that. I didn't even think about it because I'm not used to banks in a role-playing game that's not online.
And it happens right beside where you get a chest with a ton of money in it. Zenny. Zenny's the currency. You get like 1,000 Zenny, which is a huge amount at that time. And then Rand comes and takes it all.
Yeah.
But if you, as soon as you open the chest, go to the bank and deposit it and then go on.
For the next time. I'll remember that for next time. Mm-hmm. That's a good pro tip.
And then Jean Valjean is when you break Jean out from jail. A little Les Mis joke for you.
Oh, yeah. That's why I didn't get it. I've never seen that or listened to the music for that. So
I haven't either. Meg just talks about it a whole lot.
Oh, now I don't feel so bad. But, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are big Les Mis fans. Like, yeah. There's probably a huge crossover. Like, normally, because we can track the sites, we can track the stats for tadpog.com. I do see a lot of people leaving lesmis.com and coming to tadpog.com. Okay. Like, I mean, it's just traffic back and forth all day long. I didn't have achievements, but you kept talking about this priest, badass priest, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's a priest, so it made me think of Ray. When someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
Nice.
And that's a real easy achievement to get. All you have to do is...
Say yes when someone asks you the question.
When you have to ask Ray that, and he has to say yes. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I actually had a lot of fun recording this. Ooh. I did not think I was going to because I felt like I didn't play enough of the game. But I did. I really like this. I feel like I've had a good time. I've learned something today.
You feel better about this than The Walking Dead?
Yeah, I really feel bad about that. I haven't got my zombie jokes yet, but I be prepared for The Walking Dead Part 2. I am going to intersperse it with zombie jokes.
Well, people, if they like The Walking Dead, they'll like that episode. But if you didn't play The Walking Dead, you're not going to like that episode.
No, you're not. two old guys talk about, I don't know.
Talk about dropping in decisions and dugs. I don't know.
Tyler, I had a lot of fun today. Mm-hmm. But it's time, I think, to talk about beards.
Okay.
And glasses. Mm. If you were to give this game a beard that would tell the world what it's about, what kind of beard would you give it?
I would give it a brown 16-bit with all the bells and whistles and clasps, dwarven warrior beard.
That's a pretty badass beard,
it's
dude.
It's a good beard. But you see a lot of that. You've seen this beard a lot. If you turn on the Lord of the Rings, you see this is all you see is that beard. Uh-huh. You watch The Hobbit, you saw eight of these beards.
Just a sea of these beards.
You played Final Fantasy IV and got to the Undermountain down below, then you saw all these beards. It's a good beard, but it's a very common beard.
Okay. I like that. I'll take that. Mm-hmm. If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, Tyler, what kind of glasses would you give it?
The glasses that are very popular amongst wise old men who tell you where to go to find books, swords, shields, princesses, tomes, dungeons. Mm.
So like a wireframe kind of dealy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yep. With sort like of half maybe, spectacles, yeah, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Santa Claus glasses.
Yep.
Yeah. Imagine the kind of glasses Santa Claus was wearing.
Yep.
That's what I'm thinking.
Hermit mage spectacles.
Got anything else to talk about?
It's original flavor. So that's all I got for the fire too.
The bow or bow reminded me of Barf from Spaceballs. So I'll just go ahead and say that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I couldn't end the show without mentioning that.
I miss John Candy.
I really miss John Candy too. I watched The Great Outdoors the other night. Mm. And it's not a good movie. Mm. Yeah, it's really a lot worse than I remember it. I watched that movie a lot as a kid and really enjoyed it, but man, yeah, it's not so good.
Because I can't think about John Candy without thinking about an episode of Second Breakfast where they do the gauntlet and Blackthorn fame, Blake Woods.
Blake Woods of Blackthorn fame.
Yes.
Blackthorn. That is ridiculously difficult to say.
He wrote a gauntlet for Second Breakfast. And one of the questions was, what's your favorite Chris Farley movie? And Phil and Andy are 5 or 6 years older than Blake. So they both just kind of, I guess Tommy Boy, it's the one we've heard about. And then they started talking about a big discussion where they're just not of that Chris Farley generation. They're right. of the one before where their funny fat guy was John Candy.
Right.
And then they just gush about John Candy the way like Blake would gush about Chris Farley because he loves all his movies. So it's like your generational shift.
Yeah, that's weird. I'm placed right in the middle of that because I saw my fair share of John Candy movies, but also the early Chris Farley movies. Because the only Chris Farley movies I can really name are Tommy Boy, Black Sheep. I never saw Beverly Hills Ninja, but I can name that one.
Yep. I never saw it either. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah, you can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So you don't miss the next episode, we'll be talking about IGN's 52nd-rate game. Kribo's Boots is so excited we're doing this.
Yeah?
Ken Griffey Jr.'s winning run.
I'm actually really excited about this, too.
Yeah?
I just recently heard about this game. Someone mentioned it. I think it was Giant Bombcast, Giant Bomb's podcast. They were just recently talking about this game, Ken Griffey Jr.'s baseball for Super Nintendo, and talking about how absolutely wonderful it was and is. Hmm. So based on everything that they've said, I'm really excited to play it.
Hmm. Okay. Well,
which is odd for me.
We'll give it a fair shake at a sports game.
Yeah.
The only sports game I'm interested in is Super Punch Out. So we'll see how this goes. So while you're there, don't forget to subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, write a review. We appreciate it.
Yeah, really. Just make sure it's an honest 5-star review. Mm-hmm. No bribery.
Nope. None whatsoever. Mm-mm. Nope.
Never. In the meantime, guys, you can always find all kinds of Tadpog stuff, all kinds of Grandma Squirts and Dave play old games, which .com now has to be registered before someone out there grabs it up. You can always find us on tadpog.com. We've also got a little Facebook page going at facebook.com/tadpog. That's where we hang out. We got some cool listeners, say some cool shit on there. Mm-hmm. You'd like it. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Twitter at tadpog_podcast. It is a cumbersome handle.
Yep.
You can call us, Tyler.
Yeah.
You can call us at Tadpog Hotline, fucking Tadpog, at 270-883-2555. So if you would like to share a story about your acidic anal glands, your glands for the ages, feel free to give us a call and let us know.
Or you can email us questions or anything that you want us to read aloud for the Tadpog grab bag. Tyler at Dave.com. Tyler I Dave. Always do that.
I love that.
Tyler though. At tadpog.com.
It's endearing. It's almost like you're asking me to marry you.
Will you be my .com? Will you ask me at your .com?
We've also got a Steam group.
Yeah, we do.
And we did it a long time ago, but you talk about, we talk about Shake a lot on this mm-hmm. show. Shake is our officer in charge of the Steam group. Mm-hmm. So.
And we have, I have a special episodes forum, so people usually, they'll play some games on Steam, hop on that thread, and then tell me, you know, what they want to see. That was the inspiration for Binding of Isaac. That was a request from the Steam group. So
yep.
It happens.
And also, I play a shitload of Natural Selection, too, these days. So if you do as you. Well and you're on Paul. Steam, then please fucking join me. Tyler, you got to play that game. It was a lot of fun. I think it was in the last Humble Bundles where I picked it up. The one that had Sanctum in it. I think it was the Jumbo bundle. Yeah,
okay.
That game's a lot of fun.
Okay. I may check it out.
I played that motherfucker till 6:30 this morning. Yeah. I played until literally I hit refresh on the servers. No one was on. Like no one in the green ping was on. Everyone was like orange or yellow, which tells me that they're overseas. So I was like, I should probably go to bed. Our intro song, Tyler, is Moves by a gentleman.
Nana's Dogs.
Named Nana's Dogs. That'd be a pretty cool band name, right?
Yep.
Like that could go either way. That could be like, that could be a hilarious metal band. Or, you know, a traditional folk band.
They can play Nana's County Dogs. Fairs. Yeah, they do go folk music.
You know, Nana's Dogs, they come out with extravagant makeup and their cocks hanging out. And, you know, they just play for a little bit. It's great. You'll love them. That's by a gentleman named Sycamore Drive. Mm, mm. A link to that track can be found on the show notes at tadpog.com.
We're done. Out.
Tropical Capricorn.
Oh, there's those iconic primes coming in.